Hello there.
I'm so ready. Oh my god. Oh my god.
This is my disguise as bearded Jedi.
I was gonna say, you're not, because this isn't Obi-Wan. Like, that beard's too dark.
Yeah, this is bearded Jedi, and his name is revealed at some point. Ugh, hair's all my mouth. His name gets revealed at some point. I'm not gonna tell you now. You'll have to watch.
Bearded Jedi, did you add the creative touch of the eye patch, or is this also in the script?
I didn't read the script very closely. I read my lines and anything directly surrounding it for props, but Matt told me I needed an eye patch. I didn't read anything that said I needed an eye patch, but he told me to get one. It's got sequins. Can you tell?
Oh, I can now. It wasn't in the right light for it, but I can see now. Beautiful.
Yeah. That's great.
I feel like you should trim it maybe around your lips a little bit so the hair doesn't get in your mouth. Like, I can't even see your mouth through that thing.
This is so gross. Okay, I'm not doing that gesture ever again. Okay, yeah. Gross.
It's a lot happening.
Note to self, we'll trim before tonight.
I'm just thinking of you and your comfort, to be honest. But yeah.
I appreciate that. Yeah, it's going to be a tricky one tonight.
Yeah, I'm excited.
There's a lot of things that I'm going to have to say that I don't know if I'm going to be able to hold it together.
The beauty of it is, like, do you really have to? Do you have
no.
to hold it together? Yeah.
No, but I want to, so I can... I've always wanted to be an actress, don't you know?
Don't we all know? Wasn't it audiobook narrator? I thought that was the dream.
Yeah, I was teasing. I'd never want to be an actress. That's too stressful.
I know, okay. It is. It's awful. You have to, like, look good all the time, and, like, who wants that?
People are, like, stalking you with pictures. I mean, people are already thinking I'm really cool, so...
Yeah, I just, like...
Is it that much different?
Really like leaving my house looking homeless sometimes, so, like, I just could never.
I always look like a bum.
Should we, like, mention really quickly before... Like, we'll get into it, obviously, but should we talk about what you're talking about with your costume? Like, what is your costume for, Alice?
Oh, yes. Tonight is September 11th, and it's Blue Bantha Milk, episode 2.5, A Senator and a Jedi, part 2 on YouTube.
Yay.
Live stream. Woo! So it'll already be out for your viewing pleasure once you hear this.
Yay!
But, yeah.
Go find that shit. It'll be exciting.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And... in case you didn't know, this is Force Toast, a Star Wars happy hour, and you're listening to episode 65.
I'm Laura.
I'm Alice. Woo, here we go. Oh, it's been a while. I'm like rusty.
Yeah, no, it's been like a month or something. It's been crazy.
Life, man.
Oil can.
Whatever. All right, happy hour. What are we drinking?
Yeah, it took me a little bit longer than it should have. Sorry about that. We're at the very end of a box of Chardonnay. And so I had to sit there and be like, okay, like, can we
hurry up,
please?
You have to knead the teat.
Yeah, I need it. Like, really, it needs to be like a slap the bag situation. I got to pull it out of the box and.
Yeah, you know, knead the wine boob.
Exactly. Yeah. How about you? What do you got?
Well, because I am doing the Blue Bantha Milk thing tonight and I want to be able to read coherently and whatnot.
Yes. Yeah.
I have a Monster low-carb energy drink. It has things like B vitamins, taurine, L-carnitine.
Good for you. And, I mean, there's no judgment to anybody but we are recording a little bit earlier than we normally would. Now, we are the same people who drank mimosas at 7 a.m. when we had to get on a video call with people in Australia, like 2 or 3 years ago or whatever. So no judgment if you're all about getting plastered before noon, but... I am drinking wine. It's early in the afternoon. It's whatever. It's a better situation than the drag brunch I went to last Sunday.
Ooh.
Where I was like very much in the bag by like 1 o'clock.
Nice.
So
yeah,
fun.
I would be drinking. No problem with it. Just I've got to keep my strength up for tonight.
Keep your shit together.
energy to expend. Got a lot of reading to do, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. Housekeeping. So, as we mentioned earlier, Blue Panther Milk, episode 2.5, part 2, live stream tonight. I'm preparing for it. I'm ready. It's going to be wild. I get to drop an F-bomb or two.
In Star Wars? Gasp.
So I much. Know. I know. I'm Obi-Wan and the Bearded Jedi.
So. Is that it? Any other surprises?
Nope, just those two. They keep me plenty busy.
Yeah.
So it'll be a good time, and I hope everyone goes and watches it.
Because
this one it's the most coherent story yet.
Yay. Yeah, that has been a little bit of coherency has been a little bit of an issue I'm at in with some of these other artificial intelligence written things. So that's one advantage. Love it. Hope they keep that going. Makes things a little easier
twist.
To follow. Yay.
Did you watch the first one?
Not yet, no.
Okay, so you missed the plot twist at the end. It's like, whoa.
Yeah, I keep thinking that I'm going to have a Schmodown match, and then they keep moving it. So it's not made my life very easy lately.
Yeah, the twist at the end and the way Heather does it, you're just like, what the fuck?
It's cool. Oh my god, yay. Yeah. Well, that's exciting. I'm really pumped to finally sit down and watch it and catch up on this one. How long was the first stream, do you remember? Or how long, do you know?
Hour?
Yeah, that's nice. I feel like the first couple of them were longer, like a little bit long, an hour is a little bit more palatable.
Yeah, so super excited. And what about you, Laura?
The Movie Trivia Schmodown has its second Star Wars Tournament of the Year coming up. I don't actually know when it's going to start yet, so keep an eye out for it, but it is happening. I think the bracket is out there. Maybe it's not out there. I've seen it, so I don't know. But it's been a whole scheduling adventure, so that'll be coming out soon. Keep an eye out. By the time you all hear this, I guess it came out last night. It was Andrew DeMolanta versus Thomas Harper in another title defense for the Star Wars belt. So that's going to be exciting. Unfortunately, I haven't watched it yet, so that's on me. But I'll watch it. I got to prepare. Got to see how I do. See where my weak spots are.
Mm-hmm.
Gonna be great. That's all I got. But we'll put a link in the show notes to the Blue Bantha Milk Company YouTube channel so that you all can go watch episode 2.5, Jedi and Senator. I don't know. Whatever. There's articles in there somewhere. It's Jedi and Senator Part 2, which is coming out.
I can't wait for you to see the plot twist.
Yay!
At the end of the first one.
It's gonna be great.
We were all shocked. Because they redacted the script when they sent it to us.
Oh my god.
So none of us knew what was happening.
Yeah. Yay. That's going to be great. That'll be fun.
It was most excellent.
Lovely.
All right. Caravan of Correction.
I think it was Andy reached out a while back and was talking about the buff troopers we referenced at the end of the...
They were the roid rage
troopers. He said clone commando armor. That we see a couple times throughout the Clone Wars. So yeah, the Clone Commandos are the ones who are like on the juice, apparently, in the
Got
Clone
it.
Wars.
Noted.
Yeah.
All right.
I am really interested in hearing what your thoughts are on this because I don't really, because everybody is so fucking excited about this first piece of news that we're going to probably get through really quickly because I don't know how much we're going to have to say on it. But the fact that the Knights of the Old Republic is getting remade and released alongside the release, I think, of the PS5. That's coming out, and then it's also going to be launched for PC. How are you feeling about it? Because I believe, correct me if I'm wrong, you're still on a PlayStation 3, are you not?
4.
Oh, you are on the 4, okay.
I've got PS4. Okay. So, Knights of the Old Republic, I feel like everyone's always talked about for years as being awesome, and the little trailer for it, even though it's, what, like 20 seconds, and it's just like... someone with a lightsaber walking up and a voice talking. It was so cool. I loved it. I watched it. And I was like, I want to play this.
Oh,
but
fun.
I don't want to buy a PS5.
Hell
I wonder if you can rent them. Like, remember Blockbuster, you could rent VCRs and stuff.
God,
can
what
you rent gaming consoles?
Old-fashioned sentence you just said. I bet that that's a thing. I would think maybe, like, is that GameStop thing? If it's not a thing... how do we go into business to make it a thing?
Yeah, I don't want to buy a PS5. I just want to borrow one to play the game and then give it back.
Yeah. Yeah. That would be fine. That's cool. I get it. You know, you gotta, when you upgrade to a new console, I imagine it's a big commitment because number one, you have to learn it. Number two, it's expensive. Like, it's whatever, but.
The joy of PlayStation is that the controllers have not really changed in 25 years.
Wow,
they're mostly
nice.
The same that's because really they've nice. Always had the dual joysticks, I think.
Yeah, and see, that's why I never played them because I was always an N64 kid and I'm not used to having two joysticks and I can't imagine ever getting down with that. So until we go back to an N64 controller on a PS5, you can count me out of this one because, yeah, it's just not going to happen. And I just, like, really don't care about this. I'm excited that everybody's excited about it. I'm, like, that's great, but I just am, like, I don't care about Revan. I don't care about the Knights of the Old Republic. I don't care about the time period. I don't care about Legends. I just, like, whatever.
Remember there was, like, a question many, many moons ago in an episode, and I don't remember who wrote in, but they were like, oh, I'd love to see the story of Bastilla, like, brought into canon. And she wasn't, I can't remember what it was that happened, but her story was really cool. And then in this article, you know, under the video, it was like, you might recognize the voice of this person who was Bastilla in the original. And I was like, oh, okay. Like, I'm kind of connecting dots in the most vague way possible. You're welcome. But I'm excited about it.
Yay. Well, that's good.
I just need to rent a PlayStation 5.
Yeah. If that's a thing. And if it's not. New business idea, don't steal it.
Yeah, yeah, don't steal it. Shipping game consoles. You know what I could do? I could just buy one, like a refurb off Amazon, play the game, and then return it.
Yeah, I want to also talk about, though, the Lego Star Wars Terrifying Tales. Can we please talk about how fucking utterly delightful this trailer is?
It was really cute.
It's really, really cute. I mean, we're talking same vibe as, like, the Star Wars Holiday Special. Did you ever watch that, by the way? Did I ever ask you that?
I did. It was fine.
Yeah.
But this I'm more excited about because I feel like, I know Legos are silly, but I think with Holiday Special 2, that there was kind of an expectation that it would be not more real, because the first one's kind of wacky, but I can't articulate what I'm thinking. Anyway, I'm excited about this one.
Well, yeah, because this is total nonsense. It looks like nonsense, yeah. Because yeah. I think what maybe you're trying to say, maybe I'm wrong, but when the holiday special, the Lego holiday special came out, I think a lot of people were sort of interpreting it as like, oh, look, this is like a fun, silly, non-canon version of Episode 10 because it was clearly set after the sequel trilogy. We had all those same characters. And this is like, I don't know what era this is taking place in because we've got characters from every era in it. And it's just ridiculous nonsense, and it's hysterical, and I cannot wait, because the trailer really is delightful. I mean, we have, like, Vader, and we have Palpatine, and we have Kylo Ren, and we have Poe Dameron seems to be, like, the sort of main protagonist, and so I'm not totally sure what's happening with it, but I'm excited nonetheless.
Yeah, it was cute.
The funniest thing that I saw about this was actually how I learned that this existed, which was on Facebook, of all places. Somebody posted, like, a picture of a tweet, but it was only a partial version of it that was like, Christian Slater is going to be playing Ren in Star Wars from the Rise of Kylo Ren comic. And I was like, excuse me. Like, I was so confused because I was like, first of all, if this was true, I would have been completely inundated with the information. Like, I don't know how I would have, like, missed the information that, like, Christian Slater was going to be playing any Star Wars character at all, let alone one from, like, this really fucking awesome comic. And then it did not ever occur to me that they were referencing something that was going to be animated until I finally went and found the story. But Tony Hale from Arrested Development is going to be playing Vane, who was Vader's little old man guy in Rogue One. I fucking love Tony Hale. I'm so excited that the idea that Buster Bluth in Arrested Development, and I'm trying to think of what else he's been in. He was in Veep. I don't know if you ever watched that show. Mm-hmm. He plays the bagman. But yeah, there's a couple of familiar Star Wars voice acting people on this cast list, but I'm particularly excited to see Tony Hale and Christian Slater voicing characters in Star Wars. I think that's going to be really fun.
I love Christian Slater.
What do you love him in?
Mr. Robot, Interview with a Vampire.
I've always heard that Mr. Robot is so good. I've never watched it.
It is. It's weird. It's a mind fuck. And you just have to, like, go with it. But I do feel bad for him because he was in an Interview with a Vampire, and his co-stars were Brad Pitt, Tom Cruise, and Antonio Banderas. And he is younger than all of them. I think Antonio Banderas was in it. He's younger than all of them, but if you put them all next to each other today, oof.
Wait, in what way?
I think he aged the least fortunately of them all, and he's younger, so you're like, oh.
He also probably aged the most naturally of all of them.
That's so true. Yeah.
Yeah. Good call. I don't know. Either way, Lego Star Wars everything is just fucking delightful. And the fact that we're getting a Halloween special is just it's very nice. It's going to be fun.
Mm-hmm. Oh, other TV. We have a new Star Wars Visions trailer, which one thing I really loved about it is that it was in Japanese with English subtitles. Because the first one we saw, wasn't it an English dub?
I honestly do not remember. I forgot that we even had another trailer before this one.
Yeah, I think it might have been, because I was like, oh, bummer. You know, like, if I'm watching Sailor Moon, I want to watch, like, the original audio with subtitles instead of, you know, like, it just feels more authentic. I don't know. So I was super excited. And I think this trailer got me excited about it. I hadn't really cared that much. I was like, okay, whatever. But this trailer looks cool.
No, I kind of feel the same way, because I remember you talking about how you had just rewatched Sailor Moon, and I was like, oh, that's really exciting. Maybe I should do that. But, like, Sailor Moon and Pokemon, they were, like, the only anime things I ever watched as a kid. And it's just not a medium that I gravitate towards. So I remember being like, oh, that's kind of cool. This will be something, like, fun and different, obviously. And it very much is from this trailer. But I'm telling you all, this trailer that came out on August 17th, this trailer is sexy. This is a really, really fucking good trailer for this show. I mean, like, this is going to get everybody, I think, really excited. I think these shorts are going to be really fun, especially this one about Ronin, which we got that book. The advanced reader of the book, which I have not gotten into at all, but everything that I've heard about it so far from some of the people who've posted about it have said, it's extremely unique. This is like a very, very different story than we've ever gotten before. At least in maybe the new canon. So I'm excited to dive into it, but that's the first episode, is Ronin will be the first story. And yeah, there's great music in this. There's like, it's not all this exact same animation style. It's all, like, a little bit varied. Like, clearly, I think there were, like, different people working on, you know, the animation of these different stories. And it's just very cool. I don't know. I'm excited that this is going to be this fun, unique thing. I didn't really give much thought to the fact that, like, Japanese dub versus English. I don't know if I have much of an opinion on it. Because, you know, I can read. I can read subtitles. It's fine.
I think some of it looks like it could be a little dark, too.
Oh, fuck yeah. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, original Sailor Moon run, ending of season one, that was dark as fuck. Everyone died.
I don't remember that. But I don't know if, because I would just watch it when it was on Cartoon Network. I never watched, like, the start to finish in order, whatever the hell, you know.
We can't all be homebody binge TV watching professionals like me, Laura.
Well, I mean that was when I was watching Sailor Moon, video stores still existed. So, because I remember going into the forbidden section of the video store, being like, "Oh my god, that stuff looks like Sailor Moon," and then being like, "Oh no, that is not. Those are boobs." So that was different. I didn't realize that it was. Same.
I love reminiscing about video stores, mm-hmm. because the first time I ever wrote a check was at Blockbuster to get a used copy of a DVD.
Oh my god.
Yeah.
A DVD? I mean, like, DVDs were... Oh, that's so funny. Like, when did DVDs first become a thing? Like, I remember the first DVD I ever bought was My Big Fat Greek Wedding. And it's weird that I remember that, but Rose was just watching the movie the other day, and that movie is still fucking funny.
I think people started to get DVD players in, like, 2002.
Okay.
Maybe.
You look so old. It's such a fucking good movie. I love it. but yeah, Star Wars Visions, not coming to DVD anytime soon. It'll be on Disney+. In the very near future, I imagine. October 1st is when Lego Star Wars is coming out. I don't know when Visions is coming out. It's fine. It doesn't matter. It's soon.
Yeah. We're going to have so much stuff to talk about.
For real.
And all the books. Ugh. So many books.
There are too many books. They need to fucking slow down with the books because I can't. I just can't. It's just too much. I mean, like, we haven't even gone back and read that Thrawn book. And we're going to talk about E.K. Johnson in a second. Queen's Hope is coming out in November. I'm like, I don't even remember what happened in the other two. Like, I need somebody to do a book report.
I still didn't finish Alphabet Squadron.
Yeah, no.
Like, solid 80%.
It's that one's, it's like an, it's on hold. It's fine.
Yeah. I'm going to power through a couple things.
There's too many books. I'm so behind on High Republic, which we're going to talk about anyway, but it's fine.
At least we're behind together.
We are. We are unified in that. Kind of. You're farther ahead in the books overall than I am. Yeah.
Okay. Next up in news, and or what, maybe finished filming.
And or what. Yeah, Best Ben Bulletin came out with this story back in late August talking about how how the Andor show had finally finished filming, which is really exciting, but we'll kind of get into how it compares to Kenobi, which apparently is also done with principal photography. Andor did a lot of filming outside, and they did a lot of filming, like, with exteriors, so it took a lot longer to film, and I don't think they used a lot of that stagecraft technology, and I think the pandemic is to blame for that. I think they were trying purposely to keep a lot of it outside, which makes a lot of sense. Probably also because it's going to be better lighting for Diego Luna, who's playing, like, a 20-year-old when he's very much not a 20-year-old. Like, I feel like it's the fucking Breakfast Club all over again. But this is exciting. I'm really wondering when we're supposed to start getting these things, because between Kenobi and Andor both finishing filming right around the same time, I'm like, how are we going to stagger these? Like, are the stories going to connect in any way as a way to try and get people to keep their Disney Plus subscription going and watch both stories? And I would like, also, when is Bad Batch coming out? I have questions, Alice.
I know. Just give us a timeline. Just give us an estimate.
Yeah, I saw something. I saw somebody post the like timeline of when the next Star Wars movies are coming out. I'm just like, oh my god, like, who cares? Like, there's so much other stuff happening that I want that's coming out sooner. Like, can I please get that information? Thank you. The movies can wait. It's fine.
100%.
I am entertained for the time being. And then, of course, fucking Patty Jenkins is like out running her mouth about movies and theaters versus streaming, and I'm just like, be quiet.
I don't want to go. I went to a theater in June. I don't want to go to a theater again now.
June? I'm trying to think of kind of where we were with COVID then. Things had like calmed down a little bit, hadn't they? Like,
yeah. Things were feeling like good.
Yeah, because it was like just August that I think Chicago brought its mask mandate back. So
yeah.
I got my regular invite to the Chicago Film Fest. That's coming in October. It starts mid-October. But they sent me another screening invite for some other movie, kind of unrelated. And it said that you had to show proof of vaccination to go, which I'm just like, fuck yeah, number one. Number two, 80% capacity in theaters. Because like when I got that Film Fest email, I was like, I don't know if I want to go sit inside in a theater. Like, to see 10 movies in 2 weeks, that's a lot. I don't know if I need that. But the fact that they're going to make people be vaccinated, I'm a little bit encouraged by that. So we'll see.
Yeah, fair.
Yeah. Either way, this whole streaming stuff on Disney Plus is kind of what I prefer. But I know that obviously didn't work out for Black Widow. And now Shang-Chi is not on Disney Plus yet. It's only in theaters, which I do want to see it. But I don't know. Don't know about that.
Same.
Yeah.
I'm fine staying at home.
Mm-hmm.
Next up, Tandy Newton talking about Solo.
Yeah.
And we all agree with her.
We do, don't we? Like, here's the thing. I am loving that she has, like, when did Solo come out? That was, like, 2018 or something, right?
Mm-hmm,
like, it's been 3 years. I'm like, girl, did your fucking, like, NDA just expire? Because, like, why are we spilling tea right now, finally? I am so happy that this interview just came out. Or maybe she just doesn't give a shit, which, like, good for her.
Why would she?
No.
They did her dirty.
They really did. Apparently, and I had no idea any of this, like, about any of this detail. Maybe this is the first we're learning about it. But something changed with Tandy Newton's character Val in the rewrites of this movie, or like the reshoots or whatever the hell happened when they brought in Ron Howard, and that's why they're blaming that on basically killing her off.
Yeah, she said that she wasn't supposed to be killed off, and she was supposed to reappear at some point, but that allegedly setting up the soundstage or something was too hard or too much, so they decided to just let her die in the explosion instead.
Yeah.
Fucked up.
Which sucks, yeah. They said that it was too big of a set piece to create, and so they were just like, nah, fuck it. But I guess they were supposed to leave it open to interpretation is what it sounded like. Like, they were going to have her just kind of, like, disappear into the void, but, like, not necessarily very explicitly clearly be dead. And then they were just like, yeah, you know what? We're going to, like, take the first Black woman to ever have, like, a decent role in a Star Wars movie, and we're just going to say, like, eh, fuck it. And the fact that she's like, yeah, are you fucking joking about this? Because they fucking did her dirty. And whatever his name is, John Kasdan being like, oh, well, that's what happens when you just get like these really great actors and really cool characters, and then you have to kill them. It's just like, eh, you know, what can you do? And it's like, man, fuck you. That sucks. It just sucks. Wasn't right. Hate it.
Yeah, same.
So good for her for coming out and speaking her piece about it. But that article came out back at like the end of August, and it was all about, what's it called? What's that show? Westworld. You watched Westworld, right?
Yeah, yeah. I like that show.
Yeah, they just talked about Star Wars a little bit, but it was a whole thing on her Westworld character, which I haven't watched. I watched the first episode of that show, and I was like, eh, okay. Maybe I'll get back
to it
someday.
It's weird. It's also trippy. My brain got confused, and I totally missed the like plot twist that they built the whole season. And then at the very end, when they explicitly said it, I was like, no, that doesn't make any sense. This is wrong. And I went on Reddit. I made a comment like, this doesn't make sense because this, that, and the other. And they were just like, what the fuck is wrong with you?
She had a bunch of mansplainers being like, did you miss something, girl?
Back when I used to comment on Reddit. But yeah, Westworld's good shit.
Okay. On to more TV stuff.
More TV stuff. Yeah.
Mandalorian season 3 just started filming, so we're not going to get that shit for another year.
Yeah. Fuck it. I hate everything.
Wow.
But
isn't that weird? Like,
I know.
2-year break between seasons?
That's too long. I don't like it. That's too long for me to not know where our collective baby is. Mm-hmm. All of us need to know where our little green baby is. I'm concerned.
Did you see... I think I saw on Twitter someone posted that Disney went ahead and trademarked Baby Yoda because no one calls it Grogu.
Or the child, yeah. Yeah. That's hysterical.
And they were like, that's what you get for not giving us a name for a year and a half.
Yeah, exactly. Learn your fucking lessons, people. Like, that's great that you wanted to keep him shrouded in mystery. That was a great surprise, and it was so nice that it never got spoiled. But, like, what the fuck is the point of not giving him a name?
It was so anticlimactic.
It really was.
It's
really
not
was.
Even a fun name.
No.
Like, it sounds like Dragon Ball Z.
It's not even fun, like Baby Yoda.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Baby Yoda.
But The Mandalorian is going to start filming in August, which was last month, now that when we're recording this, or this month. Who the fuck cares? Anyway, Carl Weathers like went to a Comic-Con in Pittsburgh and did an interview on August 15th, talking about how he's going to be returning his Grief Karga, which, like, that kind of makes sense, duh.
Duh.
But he's also going to be directing, it sounds like, again. So that's really exciting. His episode was really fun. We had the big chase sequence on Navarro, I think,
and
it was. Yeah.
That was the one with the blue jeans guy who got into the shot, and then they wiped out, right?
Blue jeans guy?
Yeah. There was a guy in the doorway in the background.
Oh, that's right. Blue jeans. Wow, I totally wiped that from my brain. Like how Star Wars wiped it from Disney Plus. That's awesome. Oh, wow. Good times. Remember when people, like, was it a cosplay or something I saw where somebody, like, dressed up as the person, but it was just, like, half their body was, like, in. I don't even know how they did it. People are so fucking creative, but it's so funny. Thank you for the reminder of that because that just gave me life.
You're welcome. Anytime.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So we are a long ass way away from Mando season 3.
Yeah. Weird. Love that he went to like an in-person Comic-Con though. I mean, like, That's kind of like, it was an unmasked interview that's posted on YouTube where he's like, they're seated pretty far away, like him and the host. Mm-hmm. But I was just like, oh my God. It like gave me hope for Star Wars Celebration. I was like, what if like we can like make shit happen? And then Chicago was like, we're bringing the mask mandate back. And I was like, I hate everything. It's not great. Yeah.
I'm gonna have some mad mask-ny.
Yeah. Although Dragon Con happened at least. So
that's true.
That's something.
I spent money on like Clinique facial cleansers.
Hell yeah.
I think spending money on facial cleansers is like a positive thing.
Why do you say that?
Because my face is nicer looking.
Oh, I thought you were like talking about like maskne or something.
Yeah, to avoid it.
Got it. My gym is doing a thing where you can wear just a face shield when you're working out, but you still have to like wear a mask around the gym. And I'm like, I've gotten to the point, like, I have to take all my makeup off before I go. And like, I never used to do that. I would just go straight from work to there and it's whatever. But I'm just like, the amount of sweat and makeup, and then you put a mask on over it. And I'm just like, it's disgusting. It's so bad.
Yeah.
Invest in a good facial cleanser, people. It'll help. I have CeraVe. I got like a foaming cleanser one I really love.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. Good times.
That stuff dries my skin out. I don't know why.
Yeah. I think it's known to do that. Should we talk about Baywatch? Kenobi Watch.
Hello there. We have, from our favorite news source, Let Rats Mate online. Yeah.
They had an exclusive, Latin Review Media had an exclusive saying that Obi-Wan Kenobi had wrapped principal photography, as we mentioned previously. I guess they began filming in May, which sounds right, of this year, and then finished in about 3 months, because they were filming a lot inside, and they were using stagecraft, which, like, good for them, because if he's gonna be on Tatooine for, like, a good chunk of that shit, it's like, imagine being like, you know where we should go in the dead of summer? Fucking Tunisia. Like, nobody was gonna do that, so.
Woo.
Yeah, they were like, stagecraft it is. Air conditioning, bitches.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
So, that's pretty exciting and impressive.
I know, it's really quick, but it's also, like, I can never remember. Did we decide that Kenobi's only fucking 4 episodes?
Yeah, I thought I read somewhere it's only 4, but then maybe it's 6?
I don't know. And I still am just, like, so confused because, like, I don't understand how we're having, like, a showdown reunion between Kenobi and Anakin, but...
It's gotta be a flashback.
Yeah, it just... But also, like, we already saw it in Revenge of Sith. I don't understand. So I'm excited to see it in 2022, along with all this other cool shit we're going to be getting in Star Wars streaming, including Andor and Bad Batch Season 2 and The Mandalorian, and I just can't wait. Although I guess it's just Boba Fett. It's just Book of Boba Fett that's coming out at the end of this year.
Mm-hmm.
So that's something.
Yeah.
Weirdly enough, we have no news on that that I saw or that I know of or care about, so...
They're keeping that shit under wraps.
Yeah, as they should be. Hopefully they'll be able to, like, keep some of the secrets like they kept for, like, they kept Grogu a secret. Like, hopefully there's just some good shit, you know, like, Rada the Hutt coming back and trying to battle it out with Boba for Jabba's throne on Tatooine. All I want is just grown-up Rada, and I want an alliance between him and Ahsoka, because he remembers Ahsoka for calling him stinky in the Clone Wars movie and saving his life. So it just...
He can just fart around.
Smelly little larva. I love him so much. Can you tell I've been, like, watching the Clone Wars movie a fucking lot lately? I just am like...
Yeah, God, gross.
Damn it, yeah.
Yeah. Although in this article, they made an interesting point about Kenobi. I guess there's a Disney Plus day in November or something. And they were like, well, maybe we'll see a clip or, you know, something.
Ooh. Then. That's exciting. Is it different than Life Day?
I don't know what Disney Plus Day means. I'm pretty sure I read that and did not invent it in my head.
Well, you know what? I think you're right, because when The Mandalorian Season 1 first came out, I was in Portugal. And so it was, and that was November. And so I saw, like, Baby Yoda trending on Twitter, and I was just like, I don't know what that means. I didn't get into any of the spoilers or whatever, but I missed the first episode of The Mandalorian because it wasn't airing in Europe yet. So it must just be the first day that Disney Plus launched or whatever.
Like launched. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Which I don't think was Life Day, but maybe because I think Life Day is like the 17th or something.
Yeah. I want to say it was like the 14th.
Yeah. Whatever. That's really cool, though. I'm
probably wrong on both of those.
I know. Like, who the fuck cares? But that's cool that we get May the 4th. We get Life Day. We get Disney Plus Day, apparently. Mm-hmm. We get all the things in Star Wars, yep. You know? So the only other thing I think in TV I wanted to mention before we get into some of the, like, book stuff. What's that?
Disney Plus came out November 12th.
Oh, look at that.
Alice
with the fact check. Fuck yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I chose a really bad time to go travel to Portugal. But I had a really good trip. So the next thing I wanted to talk about before we jump into some of this book stuff is the fact that Tom Kane is going to be retiring from voice acting. And it's kind of sad circumstances because anybody who's been kind of following this story, Tom Kane, who voices Yoda in the Clone Wars and lots of animated stuff, and then he also voices the narrator in the Clone Wars, he had a stroke like a year ago. And I think it kind of knocked him out of the game of voice acting for a while. And he's been in, like, Kansas City, of all places, getting treated. And his daughter, who lives there, has been, like, posting regular updates on her Instagram and on his Facebook. The most recent one that she posted was a couple days ago, saying that he's going to be retiring from voice acting officially because of where he is with treatment and stuff. So, very sad because he's just fucking awesome. And the fact that he gave us all this amazing interpretation of Yoda that we got in Rebels and we got it in Clone Wars and how all these other places, like, it's so sad that, you know, that we're not going to get that anymore. But hopefully he's getting happy healing vibes and he's on the mend. But it sounds like the stroke sort of took its toll on his ability to get back into the voice acting game, which is too bad.
Yeah, it's sad.
Yeah. But if he's in Kansas City, he can go get himself some barbecue, and that heals all. So there's that. Anyway, they are still doing, you can, like, send him letters and stuff. Like, she posted a P.O. box where you can send stuff, and they'll send you autographs and things like that. So there's still lots of ways to get in contact with him, and maybe we'll get to see him at a convention at some point in the future because he just is fucking great. And there's all these pictures on his Facebook of him at cons posing with fans and taking pictures, and it's just cute.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wish him well on the road to recovery.
Yeah, exactly. We do. Very much so. But on the topic of cons, E.K. Johnson was just at Dragon Con, which happened over Labor Day weekend, as it always does. Although I guess it was virtual last year. They did bring it back in person this year. And they did a pre-recorded panel about the prequels and about the Handmaidens and talking a little bit about Queen's Hope. And there was a lot of talk about, like, Handmaiden cosplaying. And it is just a really amazing panel. If any of those topics interest you, highly recommend going and watching it because the interview is just super fun. She's talking with two people that I think have done a lot of, like, Padme Handmaiden cosplay, who are clearly, nice, like, big enthusiasts of this stuff. Excuse me. And they did get a little bit into what we can kind of expect out of her new book, Queen's Hope, which is coming out in November. And everything that we've seen, I think, about this book is, like, it's got a lot to do with Sabé. But I think based on this interview and what she was talking about, we're going to get a lot of Sasha action in here too. They're both going to be sort of the center point, or it sounds like, of this story. So I'm really excited to see where that goes. But they got into a lot of really cool topics, like talking about, you know, getting more into these characters and their relationships. And she kind of talked about how there was, like, she had a discussion with one of the editors at Del Rey about making Sabé and Padmé kind of more of, like, more than a platonic relationship. Mm-hmm. And then kind of decided against it. And they got into, like, you know, the importance of showing these female friendships, both in the books and on screen, and how important that is, because we don't get a ton of that in Star Wars, which I didn't even think about.
That's
the fact
true.
That
I didn't either.
There are so many dudes, but we got this very intimate, very loving, but not romantic, but still very, very important relationship between Padme and Sabé in the first two books in this sort of trilogy. But we'll get more of that, it sounds like, in.
What was the first one called?
I can't remember the ordering of them. It's Queen's Shadow and then Queen's Peril, and I can't remember which one came first.
Right.
Yeah, Queen's Shadow was the first one because it was all about the handmaidens, and they are the Queen's Shadow.
Right.
And then there was, yeah, I don't know, whatever. It was whatever the ordering is, and then the story's like kind of backwards, but it sounds like she started writing these books, or she made these pitches to Del Rey before she wrote Ahsoka. Like, she had mm-hmm. all of these ideas going even before that, which,
cool.
yeah. So the interview, she drops these, like, really fun little tidbits. It's a great interview, and it's a really fun watch. That happened at Dragon Con, and we'll drop the link to that in our show notes. The interview's on YouTube.
Nice.
Yas.
I'm excited.
Yeah.
And that comes out in November, right?
That yeah, that book will come out in November, and I'm really hoping.
Allegedly.
That, yeah. You would think that it would have changed, like, 4 times by now, but I don't think it has, so good on them.
The next Thrawn book I thought was coming out in October, but it's coming out in November as well.
Yeah, that one may have changed. I think
that one got pushed back.
Yeah,
so we're going to have like 2 books in a week on top of all the High Republic shit we've got to catch up on.
I know, that's what I'm saying. Y'all got to slow down. Slow down.
Yeah.
Pump the brakes on this stuff. Like, we love you, but oh, God, please. Nobody has time.
And last in news, we've got some Kira coming up, finally.
Okay, so we were going to record an episode last weekend and then we couldn't, but I could not help but tweet about this because Jesus fucking Christ, the way that they have illustrated her on the cover of this comic, like, with full-on fucking muscles. Like, yes, fucking queen, I love a queen with muscles on the cover of this comic because when Star Wars Rebels had the episode where, like, I remember, like, Hera had, like, the tank top on, and I remember somebody posting on Twitter, like, almost immediately being like, where the fuck are her muscles? Why is she just, like, a stick-thin nothing? And I'm so glad that we're taking... That was just the animation style. There's nothing you can really do. But I love that they're taking this step to be like, yeah, Kira, like, took over Crimson Dawn and fucking got jacked. So welcome to the gun show. The comic's called Star Wars Crimson Reign. IGN got an exclusive on the details. It's gonna be fucking awesome.
Pumped. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I think we've all been wanting more information about Kira.
Yeah, exactly.
For a while, and so maybe this will give the answers. I haven't read the Bounty Hunter comics that she's in.
Yeah, I haven't either. But when I saw somebody post a picture from it the other day with the question of, like, I'm sorry, is she opening a holocron and is she force sensitive? Very confusing. But yeah, this War of the Bounty Hunters comic number 5, it sounds like she's been... We're going to learn more about what's going on with her, I think, in this story, too.
And I love a limited series.
Yeah, this is cool. I love that we're going to get more insight into what exactly is going on with her. I wish I had more information on what exactly the time period is, because War of the Bounty Hunters is... I had to ask somebody, because I'm not going to go read this, the between Empire and Return of the Jedi. But I'm not too sure when this is supposed to be set.
Okay, so it takes place prior to War of the Bounty Hunters at some point. It says... It's all connected to the reason she kicked things off in War of the Bounty Hunters in the first place.
Oh, okay. All right. That works.
Yeah.
I like it.
Yeah.
Either way, right. It's during the Age of the Rebellion, which is an exciting era. I just hope that we don't have to, like, watch her die in, like, the panels of a comic. I'm like, that's not how I would like to see this character go down, to be honest.
Yeah, that would suck. She can just go live into obscurity, show up somewhere in the future.
Like, wearing old lady amazing outfits and just being, like, even more Wally. Jacked than she is on this cover.
Yep. 100%.
Yeah.
All right. So that's it for news. Woo! We had a lot of things compiled. Thank you, Laura. And next up, recap on tap. 5 minute breather?
Love a 5 minute breather.
All right. We are back. Recap on tap.
We're back.
Let's just chit-chat about the Rising Storm.
Yeah, we're not going to do, like, the recaps like we normally do, where we break down the plot and shit, because, like, you guys, this book was so... There was so much. There was just so much that happened, and I don't know everyone's names yet, and this was the third High Republic book that I've read. Because I only read Light of the Jedi and Out of the Shadows? No. What was
Test of Courage?
Test of Courage. Before this, and I only just started reading the comics after I read The Rising Storm. Mm-hmm. And I'm realizing that I should have started with the comics because, number one, that was the order things were released. And if I'd done that, I would have been able to, like, more easily keep all the characters straight, I think. Because I would have had a visual in my mind of who this character is and what their name is and what their whole shit is. Mm-hmm. But I didn't have that, and so this just, it felt like a lot. but I still fucking loved the shit out of this book. I mean, oh my God.
It was so good. And yes. I think the biggest key here is to make sure you read Light of the Jedi.
Oh God, yes. Oh my God, yes.
Like, you have, it's non-negotiable. You have to read Light of the Jedi.
Yes.
But for me, it took me a little while to get into it. It started really slow.
Yeah. No, I agree.
It was slow build, doing a lot of character development. And I think the only real, the main new characters we had, there weren't that many. There's Stellan Geos, and he's the Hugh Jackman person.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's, like, a rogue Jedi who just decided to up and quit that no one knows anything about,
mm-hmm.
named
Ty Yorick. Yeah.
Yes. And then other than that, it's people we've seen before. So kind of when it starts, it's slow, and it's all going around the High Republic Fair, and that's kind of like a world's fair or a galaxy's fair, and the Chancellor is one of her great works. She's excited about going. Everyone's like, oh, the Nile, they're not going to bother us, blah, 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 it's fine. So,
such,
and there's a bunch
naive
of things leading
move, by
up
the
to
way.
It.
Like,
I know.
It's just like, come on, girl. Like, are you serious?
Yeah. So we start off, I think, with Belle and Indira. Belle Zedafar and
yes.
Indira Stokes. And he has his puppy, Ember.
Mm-hmm.
And they're, like, hanging out on this spaceship that's, like, a special. It's like the Titanic, essentially. And it also has, like, super cool medical technology. They're just kind of hanging out. Belle's really sad about his old master still being gone. They don't know what happened to him. And then they get attacked by Nile. We think he dies because he gets stabbed through the stomach with a pipe.
Yeah, I was very confused. I was like, I'm sorry. Am I about to watch this character that is just a young, innocent bebe that just lost his master?
With his puppy in his plane?
Fucking die? Like, what the hell? I was very confused. And then I'm even still confused on how he's still alive. But that's fine. It's
because
whatever.
They just dropped him in a tank of Bacta and said, have fun.
Yeah, I, like, forgot that was, like, a thing because they thought that Bacta was, like, something they're still trying to figure out in this era.
Yeah.
But I guess they've partially figured it out, apparently.
Because it was on the Titanic ship. The Titanic spaceship with all the modern medicine stuff that was built for this World's Fair. And so there's getting to know him again and kind of how he's feeling about things. And then we also have a plot line of Martian Roe, who has, like, some little drug addict, slightly force-sensitive creature with him, and he's going to, like, hunt down something called the Great Leveler, which we don't know what it is until the end. But it's kind of, he keeps talking about, like, these ancient artifacts and, like, these old texts that his dad had and stuff, and how basically it's something that will destroy the Jedi. So that's another plot line.
Mm-hmm.
Then we also have Ty Yorick, who is hired as, like, a mercenary by some random ass science woman. And she's like, okay, I need to, like, sell this thing at the World's Fair to, like, a buyer, and I need you to be my guard. And the thing they're trying to sell is, it disables, like, electronic weapons. So blaster bolts don't fire. Lightsabers, like, go
don't
dead.
Don't work. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's very dangerous. And then, let's see. Our other main point, we see Elzar Mann fucking around.
Yeah.
Literally.
Yeah. That's his whole vibe in this entire book, and I'm mm-hmm. so fucking here for it. Like,
yep.
They just decided, we're like, hey, what if we made this, like, sort of vague rule where, like, Jedi aren't supposed to, like, have attachments or fall in love, but, like, they could fuck around and find out if they want to. Like, that's, and Elzar Mann is just like, yeah, man. So,
yeah.
That's what happens.
Yeah, he gets some. Yeah, and then Stellan Geos and a reporter lady and the Chancellor are all hanging out together on their way to the planet. And the chapters, I think, I thought they were a little bit slow, just building up each of those settings for us. And then they converge on the fair. Fair starting, beginning stages.
Yeah, they're kind of like setting up.
It's fully open. It's preview or something.
There's some people hanging out. And I think like day one of the fair, maybe, or like the very beginning, but like, is when all the shit goes down, because there are people there. There are lots of people around. Also, another woman that's hanging out with all the Republic Fair planning people is the one, the woman who's like in charge of it, whose name escapes me, but she's the one who like
Samara.
Yes. And I thought for the most of the book that she was a what's Ahsoka's species?
Togruta.
And then I like, I think I saw a picture or something. I went and looked her up because I'm like, what does this woman look like? And she's a fucking human, so whoops. But there's a whole thing going on with the Togruta in this book also, where they're like, apparently the Togruta are like very, very much like a isolationist society, and they're not wanting to like get involved with the Republic at all, but they the Republic is trying to like not draw them in, but they're trying to form an alliance with them. And the fact that they have this like whole threat of the Nihil, you know, looming over them is supposed to sort of, they're hoping that that'll be kind of motivation to bring them together.
Yeah, their queen shows up. She's a badass.
Yeah.
Yeah. So she's cool and she's hanging out with the Chancellor and they're kind of like seeing eye to eye. And then surprise, the Nihil decide to attack. And
oh
they
my
just,
God.
Like,
nobody saw it coming. That's like crazy.
They're popping out of the sky. There's a lot of like, the Nihil are always very competitive, like the Tempest Runners. They all hate each other and want each other to die. But they're, it's like a full-on assault. They've got like people in the air. They've got people on the ground. Poison gas. Everything, like total destruction. Death everywhere. Disgusting and horrible and sad and awful.
Well, and I think it's, is it Pan Ada that's leading the charge in the air?
Yeah.
Over the, and then it's the chick that's in the...
Lorna D.
Lorna D, who named her own ship after herself, which I'm just like, yes, queen, do that. She's leading the ground assault. Yeah.
Yes. So our heroes are basically just trying to save anyone they can. They don't have a lot of backup because the comms are down. And half the Jedi are running around trying to destroy the Drengir. So they're kind of short of luck. They do get a comm out. The Togrutas come in to help, like ballers.
Yes.
And then the day is saved, but lots of death and destruction. Very, very sad.
Yeah.
And then that's kind of the middle portion of it, or the biggest chunk of the book, I'd say.
Yeah.
And then after that, it goes more into how the Tempest Runners are like fighting against each other, and then we also get into what Martian Roe has been doing. And on his ship, so we remember from Live the Jedi, he has the Lady Santeca like hooked up to pipes or whatever, keeping her alive.
Yeah.
He's got what's that creature that we really like from the Batuu books?
Oh,
the two hearts.
The Chadrafan. Yeah.
Yes.
She, the character, the audiobook is fucking, I mean, that voice is horrific. It's so hard to listen to. Like, it's it's nice because it's very differentiating. You know exactly who it is that's speaking, but it's also very squeaky and horrific to listen to. But the,
so
it's
Martian Roe has that little doctor creature that's like demented and fucked up.
Yeah.
And then we also see that Loden Greatstorm is still alive. And he's, like, had his eyes pried open permanently. He's had his Leku chopped off with his own lightsaber. And he, like, keeps hearing a voice that he's kind of talking to a little bit. And he's just, like, building up his strength. And it turns out it's the Lady Santeca.
Because they're both, like, being held prisoner, but kind of in different parts of Marcion's ship.
Yeah. So he starts, eventually gets strong enough to kind of make his escape attempt. Meanwhile, lots of other shenanigans, but the Jedi end up finding the planet where the Nihil are hiding and go in to figure out what's going on, blah, blah, blah. Bell is one of those Jedi. He realizes that Loden is on the planet. He, like, feels it, goes to help him. Things ensue. Lots of Jedi show up. Nihil running around like crazy. Everyone's dying. Shit's exploding. Blah, 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 blah. But then we get to, like, the very end where we see what this great leveler thing is that Martian Roe was putting together. And we're running around. Bell, Loden, super stoked to see each other again. Blah, blah, blah. Martian turns on his little machine, and it sounds to me, it's almost like an animal of fog, right?
I don't know. I don't remember thinking that, but I don't remember. I remember being very confused by this part because I'm like, wait, so this is different than the weapon that deactivates power sources in like... That inventor lady went out the window. Yeah, she went to the ship, and I'm like, she's like jumping back and forth between like whose side she's on, and I was like, I'm not following this at all. But yeah, that and then that whole like separate machine that the Chadra fam was putting together, I got a little bit lost at the end. So
okay, yeah. So this great leveler thing, Martian turns it on, and Belle and Loden Great Storm are trying to make their kind of escape. And what it kind of, the way it was described that I understood it, it's almost like this smoke just kind of appeared, like hurtling around, almost like a tiger, like a creature in it, like invisible creature. And Belle starts going into like a, having like a total fit, curled into a ball, doesn't know where he is or what's going on. And then when the smoke clears and the other Jedi go up, they just see Belle like not moving, curled up, and then they see Ember barking, like, get away from him. And then they see a stone next to Belle that is shaped like Loden, and they touch it, and it, like, disappears into sand. So that's, like, all the Sith battle stuff that we've seen
from, you're fucking right, like, on Malachor and Rebels.
Yeah. And in the Afra comics, too, I think, right?
I don't know. I didn't read those. I didn't like them.
I think there was like something where there was a lot of sand from people that have been turned to stone, essentially, but it's fragile. So Loden is gone now. He finally like, gets out gone, of all that gone. Torture.
Right? Yeah. I'm like, we all had to go through that with Loden. And then it just is like, oh, I've been impaled. It was awful. So sad.
Yeah. And then Belle, I think it's up in the air. It sounds like he was alive and not a rock.
Yeah, it's like, but also so how?
He might be mentally crazy. Probably is fucking off his rocker now, but I thought that was so cool. I was not expecting it at all. I wasn't expecting any kind of, I never even thought about an explanation for how everyone turned into like sand figurines, mm-hmm. you know, and this is it. Yeah. So this is what Martian Rowe was looking for.
Yeah. That's fucked. It's super messed up.
It's crazy. Like the next adult novel is going to be fucking batshit.
Tempest Runners set right after The Rising Storm, but I mean, obviously it's a very different focus because it's all about Lorna D. Do we know what the next, I'm sure we do, what the next adult novel is for the High Republic?
So the next adult book is Claudia Gray. It's called The Fallen Star, and it's coming out next year.
Okay.
It looks like next year slated so far. There's The Fallen Star by Claudia Gray for adult novel. The young adult novel is called Midnight Horizon, and that's going to be by Daniel Jose Older. And then the middle grade novel that we know of so far for next year is Mission to Disaster by Justine Ireland.
Sweet. All right.
Meanwhile, the comics will continue to
Yeah, thank God. Run. Because they're really fucking good. And because the visual component of it is so incredibly helpful in trying to figure out who's who. I recently heard like a comparison, I don't remember who said it, but like kind of comparing the High Republic world with like the Game of Thrones universe, in that the names are, there's a lot of names, and there are a lot of people, there are a lot of characters that, and their names are like kind of confusing because they don't sound like names that we're used to hearing, and it's mm-hmm. it's getting so hard to keep everybody straight and figure out who's who. So like, if you're getting into these books and unfortunately like me, where you had like a giant gap of time in between the last one and reading The Rising Storm, not advantageous for me at all. Cause I just was like, I have no idea who's who and what this is. But the comics are helping a ton, and that's really nice. I wish that, Keith Trennis had been in Rising Storm, but I get it. She's busy. She's busy in the same way that Avar Chris is busy, and Avar Chris, like, in The Rising Storm kept cracking me up because everybody was just like, I'm sorry, where is the hero of Hetzel that, like, helped us all fix everything last time? Like, and why are we all just stuck with you people? Like, it was just making me laugh every single time somebody brought her up, and I'm just like, she can't be, she can't just be the solution for every situation, you know? Like, I get why they left her out of this. But it was really funny because it kept coming up a lot. But I think the thing that I really, you know, I say all that about the characters and about how I'm sort of struggling to keep everybody straight. But I have down who I kind of think of as the main trio, which is Stellan Geos, Elzar Mann, and Avar Criss. That's not the main trio of anything. That's just who they are in my mind, is my main trio of this era. Bel Zedifar, his dog, Loden Greatstorm, and then Chancellor Lena So, and then her son who's in this, whose name I don't remember, but it doesn't really matter.
Oh, yeah, it's like Jerp or something.
Yeah, he's not important to the story, so it's fine. But as much as I don't remember a lot of, you know, who's who and what's what, Kevin Scott, I think, is like Charles Soule in the way that he's so, so good at making you fall in love with these characters. Mm-hmm. Like, when I kind of think of Claudia Gray, I think of, like, really amazing storytelling. When I think of Kevin Scott and Charles Soule, the first thing that comes to mind is, like, just head over heels for the characters that they put on the page. They build them in these, like, really great, subtle ways. And add these, like, amazing, you know, imaginative traits, and you don't even realize how attached to them you are. And he puts them through absolute hell in these stories, and it just, like, is such a gut punch. But it's so, like, emotionally satisfying. Like, these, the way that, you know, we kind of end this horrific story with Bel Zedifar and Loden Greatstorm. It's so fucking sad, but it's also just so good. And I'm just like, how is it that I have read three books, only two of which they're actually in, and I'm just like, I love them so much. They're so great.
Yeah.
You know? Like, there, I think there's a lot of, they picked a really, really great group of people to be writing these stories, and that's just awesome.
So exciting.
Yeah. But it is a lot. There's a lot going on, and I felt like it was maybe, I don't know, it's kind of like Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows Part 2 is like, it just fucking doesn't stop. It just keeps coming and coming and coming, and there's so much chaos and action and excitement and so much damage. Mm-hmm. And when you haven't mastered which character is who and who's their Padawan and what species are they and who do they work for, it's a little bit hard to get through. So number one, you have to read Light of the Jedi. Can't emphasize that enough. Highly recommend looking through the concept art and the character art, because that was the other thing I kept going back to, was trying to get the visual aspect of it in my mind just to help keep everybody straight.
Yeah, High Republic is like one of the best things we've gotten.
It fucking is. It really is. Like, it's so genius. Exciting. I want to read the rest of these books, and I'm just like, I'll get to it eventually, but... Yeah, this was a really good one.
I mean, I don't have anything else to say about it because it's just so good and everyone should read them.
If you liked Light of the Jedi and you want to know what happens next, like, fucking pick up The Rising Storm because it's killer. Mm-hmm. Especially if you've read, like, Kevin Scott's other Star Wars works. I mean, he has, like, the Dooku audiobook. Like, I fucking loved that book, man. That audio drama or whatever. Like, it was audio original. I don't know what they call them, but it was so good, and the characters are so great, and Tempest mm-hmm. Runner he did too, and I'm not finished with it yet, but it's great, because he's just so fucking good with characters. It just works so well.
We'll have to get on that next episode.
Yeah, for sure.
I'm going to finish all the little books first. Yeah, I think after that, then you can read up issue 9 of High Republic comics.
Yeah, I didn't even know it was out, because I only have up to 8 on my phone, so I'll download the next one. But what are your thoughts on... We've talked about the comics a lot. I'm loving them. How are you feeling about the adventures, High Republic adventures? Like, in terms of, like... I remember you telling me you really liked the story, but in terms of, like, which characters are showing up where and how they tie in with the books, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, so High Republic Adventures has a lot of Yoda in it.
Oh, cool.
I don't think they tie into the adult books as much. There may be people referenced.
Okay.
But I really like the stories, and they're really good, and I could see a lot of, like, the little Padawan showing up elsewhere.
Cool. Love that.
Yeah.
Well, that's fun. Glad to hear that they're good. That's awesome.
Yeah.
I do have one complaint about this is such a stupid complaint, but I have one complaint about the regular run of the higher, the one that's not Ventures. Avar Chris is in it a lot, and I'm just fucking loving her character. She's great. The number one giveaway that these stories are written and illustrated by dudes is the fact that, like, her and then I even think Keeve Trennis, their hair is, like, always down. And I'm just like, are you telling me that these women are out here fighting plants? These demon vines, and they've got their hair down? Like, come on. Put their hair up. No woman in her right mind is out here slicing their way with lightsabers through demon vines with their hair down. That's a lesson you learn. You learn the hard way once, and then you don't make that mistake again. It's just kind of, it's funny to me that their hair is always down. I'm like, put it up, tie it back, come on.
Just I like it with the braid, and I think it's pretty. I'd wear my hair down.
It is pretty, but it's, I would just like, ugh, I don't get it. It's weird.
Any last thoughts?
Nope, that's all I got. I'm excited to keep going in the High Republic comic stuff and probably get back to Out of the Shadows, which I didn't read, and Into the Dark, which I didn't read. I'm definitely going out of order with this. I had asked somebody, hey, I have Tempest Runner. I want to start reading it. Do I need to go back and read any of these other things that I missed? And it was Kai, actually, who I reached out to. Oh. She helped with trivia studying at one point. And she was like, nah, you're good. You can just get it. She's like, as long as you read Rising Storm, picks up right after that. That's all you need. And I was like, sweet. Nice. So it's on my list to circle back to those other ones.
Yeah. So verdict is read it or listen to it.
Yeah. Read The High Republic.
Light of the Jedi, Rising Storm, yeah. Tempest Runner. And middle grade reader books are good. And they're short.
Yeah, that's easy, a nice easy. Thing. Yeah.
All right. On to our next segment of trips.
Trips, trips,
trips,
trips, trips, trips,
trips. So, because Laura will have a tournament coming up soon, why don't I read you a Trivial Pursuit card in the form of a speed round?
Oh, fuck. But I don't have to do a speed round unless I get to the last round.
Well, yeah, but it doesn't hurt.
Okay, fine.
Okay. And I'll start the timer after I click or finish reading the first question.
Are you going to read me 10 questions?
Six.
Okay.
Okay. Ready?
Yeah.
Which space creature has leathery wings and a suction cup mouth?
Minox.
Yes. Which Toydarian merchant doesn't fall for Qui-Gon Jinn's Jedi mind tricks? Who does Luke carry strapped to his back?
Yoda.
Who issues the order for the second Death Star to start firing its prime weapon at will?
Palpatine.
How many main engines power the Republic cruiser Radiant 7?
3, I don't know.
Who can't resist saying, I love you, to a woman holding a blaster?
Han Solo.
Yes. Yay, you got them all.
Yay.
34 seconds.
Wait, was that fucking question about the Radiant 7, right?
Yeah, 3.
Oh, God, nice. That was a shot in the dark. If only I could actually get that fucking lucky during a real speed round. Like,
yeah.
Fucking hate everything.
Do a pass and think on it later.
Yeah.
All right. What to expect from our next episode? Man, life is getting in the way. Is it because we're old?
No, it's because I've got fucking annoying people coming to stay with me, fucking family. No, it's not. I'm excited that they're going to come stay. I've got people coming into town staying with me back to back, so it's going to be a lot. But we're going to come back in 3 weeks. So our next episode will come out on Tuesday, October 5th.
Mm-hmm.
And we will probably plan to talk about Tempest Runner. That gives us 3 weeks to listen to it. I've already started it. It's really, really fun. Lorna D, I kind of already thought was sort of interesting, but we haven't got a ton of play from her, at least in the 3 books that I've read. So I'm excited to dive more into it. The very beginning, we already know so much about, like, who she is and where she came from and what her history and her family, were like. So I'm enjoying it so far.
Yay. I'm excited. I'm just going to get through Out of the Shadows and Race to Crashpoint Tower first, and then I'll start it.
Sweet. Yeah.
It'll be good for me to listen to when I walk the dogs. Yay. I'll walk them longer. They'll like it too. They're so lazy. They get exhausted. We walked to CVS and back a total of 0.6 miles yesterday. It was a little hot, but
yeah.
And then they just hopped up on the couch and snuggled together and didn't move for like 2 hours.
Yeah, same.
They love snuggling together now. It's really cute. Aw,
good. Yeah. That's awesome.
Last up, toast two. What do you have?
Toasting two today. This is, like, so boring probably to so many people, but I am, like, I'm redecorating my dining room. Ooh. And part of me is saying it out loud so that I actually commit to finishing it because, like I said, I have lots of people coming to stay with me in the next coming weeks, so I sort of have, like, a deadline in place. But basically, I have this, like, very large piece of furniture that I kind of inherited when my aunt and uncle moved out of the state, and it's huge and incredibly heavy and bulky, and I don't really like it, but my sister likes it, and I kind of have to just decorate around it. And this whole thing started because I laid out a bunch of, like, framed artwork that I have that I've been wanting to, like, figure out how and in what way I want to get it up on the wall, and ultimately decided that I can't do that because I didn't like any of it, and so I just need to strip the entire room and start all over. So that's what I'm doing right now, and I've bought a 5-foot-tall bird of paradise plant, which is so fucking heavy, but that's why I had to buy a scale, I was telling you earlier, because it was, like, when it's wet, it's, like, 50 pounds. And I have very high ceilings, but I have ceiling fans in every room, and I forget that when I'm carrying this 5-foot-tall, very heavy, very awkward plant, and I fucking gave the thing an accidental haircut the other day, walking through a room that had a fan on, so whoopsies. But it still looks fine. I have bought some, like, new artwork to hang up and some new stuff, but I need to get some more stuff out of there and get some new stuff in. But I started using this 3D interior design software. Ooh. I saw something about on TikTok to, like, lay out how I want it to look, and it's, like, fucking cool. So
nice.
It's been fun. That's what I've been toasting to, because I've had a lot of time to lay around and not do anything while my mouth has been healing from gum surgery. So that's what I've been doing, is just shopping online.
Awesome.
Yeah. How about you? What are you toasting to right now?
Oh, geez. I don't know. It's been a long handful of weeks, and I'm tired.
You're like, I am toasting to sleeping.
Yes.
At least it's, like, almost fall, and you don't have to, like, it's not fucking hot as balls anymore.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'm toasting to the burrs.
Yeah.
My favorite time of year.
Yeah, it's going to be nice. We've had, like, a couple of days where we've had, or, like, nights where we've gotten to, like, open the windows, and it's been so nice because it's been so fucking hot here. Mm-hmm. So, yay. Gotta love that. Gotta love, we're done with hot girl summer. We gotta start figuring out how to get back into, like, basic bitch pumpkin spice latte fall mode. For that. Love that energy.
Same. Pumpkin's awesome. I have a pumpkin souffle flavored candle burning right now.
Oh my god. So Rose had, like, a pumpkin bourbon one burning in the living room the other day. I was like, it smells like shit in here. What is that? I hated it. It just smelled like maple syrup for some reason. I don't know. But yeah, I bought a pumpkin spice yogurt the other day, and then I took it to work and left it in the fridge there, and I don't know when I'm going to be back. So whoopsies.
Oh well.
Yep.
All right. Well, everyone, thanks for bearing with us, sticking with us, all the fun things. We appreciate you listening. And if you haven't already, feel free to hit that 5-star button on Apple Podcasts.
Sure. Come follow us on Twitter at ForcedToastPod, or email the show at ForcedToastPod@gmail.com. I meant to bring this up with you at the beginning of the episode, Alice, but maybe don't send us messages through the website for a while. We're getting a lot of spam. So if you send us a message through the website, we might miss it. Just shoot us an email if you want to get in touch, because we love hearing from people, but just stop spamming us, whoever you are. If you want to subscribe to our show, you can do so on Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Radio Public, Stitcher, Overcast, Google Podcasts, Podbean. There's a full list on our website. That's forcedtoastpod.com.
I don't know what to do. I have no word in my head. I'm tired.
I have no words.
Bye.
There you go. That works.